I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Well, they're going to dinner. And
when are they going?
I don't even know.
Can they hold off? I mean, it's only 6:15.
When is dinner? 7 o'clock.
Ugh. That's 45 minutes.
Can one of you guys come back and pick me up?
Why don't you take an Uber?
There's no Ubers over here.
There's no Ubers in Martha's Vineyard?
Oh, there are? Oh, I'll get an Uber. Okay.
You'll ride bikes?
How does Josh know about Martha's Vineyard? Josh, your kind isn't allowed here.
Listen, if my kind's not allowed here, your kind's certainly not allowed here.
That is fair. That is fair.
You kidding me? At least we can sneak in.
That's good. Oh man.
Hey everyone. Welcome to another episode of FTS Friends Talking Shop. This is episode 51, so we are over the 50 hump and on our way to 100 now.
Some famous 51s?
Yeah. Like as in jersey numbers?
Anything.
Numbers?
What is that? Is there any signify anything the number 51?
Number 51. Area 51.
Area 51, oh, that's good. Good.
Yeah, that's the first thing that comes to mind.
I think that's number one. Top 10 51s, that's
got to
be top.
Yeah. And just for our listeners' sake, Dave is got stuck in traffic. We're trying to get this episode out to you. We don't want to delay it, and I'm going away on vacation, so we're making do here. But Dave's going to be a little bit faint in the beginning, and then he'll hustle inside and hopefully get right back to normal. So that's Dave you're hearing, and he's in the car. I think that's the most famous 51, right? Area 51?
Yeah. Area 51, yeah. Yeah,
right. I can't think of another 51. It's kind of
athletes you wore it were Dick Butkus, Randy Johnson, the pitcher, and Ichiro Suzuki.
Oh, Suzuki wore 51. All right, okay, there you go.
Yeah,
hopefully that pops up in Jeopardy where there's a 51 category. We pretty much had all the answers right there. Is that it? You got anything else to add to that, Omar?
No, I'm done. I got nothing more for you.
So, see how the episode's dead if I don't talk as much? It just lingers. There's a dead air about it. So
well,
I'll do my best.
Also, 51 in French is 51.
I think you made up 50. Cinq is five. And I don't think you know what 50 is.
That's what it is.
I think that's right. I don't know. But anyway, thanks everyone for joining us. We're excited to bring this to you. So just the quick housekeeping items are, if you want to reach out to us and we'd love to hear from you, our email address is friends@fts.media. That is friends@fts.media. Check us out on our website. Omar's got his head in his hands. Check us out on our website because he knows what's coming. It's www.friendstalkingshop.weebly.com. Again, friendstalkingshop.weebly.com.
What is the traffic on that website? What is the website?
It's a lot of traffic. But
yeah?
It's not rush hour. It's like Central Jersey 3 a.m. traffic. It's not bad. There's some cars.
is there a rest stop? That sounds about right.
There is unfortunately there's no rest stop. You're gonna have to play all the way through it. But it's not long, so check it out. And then also we are also available on YouTube if you want to check us out there. So that would be great. Let me tell you what's going on here with Friends Talking Shop. So we are three guys who have known each other for some time. We come together, well, it used to be weekly, now we're you know, your guess is as good as ours. 1 to 2 weeks, every 1 to 2 weeks.
Well, I mean, it's 1 or 2 weeks, but unlike, you know, Joe Rogan and Pivot and All In, this other guy, we don't take vacations. We're not in like Amalfi Coast or not. We always, we never have vacations.
What are you talking about? You're in Martha's Vineyard right now.
Well, I'm deemed that I'm recording.
But we do take vacations. That's the point. We can't always record as often as we'd like.
That's fair.
Is that fair? Mm. All right. So we get together. We discuss life's insignificant issues as we see them, as we've experienced them. And then we try to hash it out and help the others. Completely unrehearsed and unscripted. And we hope that you like it. So with that being said, let me introduce my co-host. We'll start with Omar here because Dave's en route, and I'm hoping he hit the star in Mario Kart, and that will get him there in half the time. But Omar, how you doing? I know you're in Martha's Vineyard. What's going on there?
So, well, I'm here, and I would like to just ask you guys a quick question about my flight over here.
Yeah.
Miles gets a little thirsty.
Miles, your dog.
Yes, he gets anxious, he gets thirsty, and so I have a little bowl for him. I get on the airplane, I give the flight attendants 2 gift cards to Starbucks, I sit down,
right.
And
routine.
And Miles needs water, and they don't come over, and I'm like, oh, this is a JetBlue flight, God knows when they're going to come over. The woman sits next to me.
Why are you flying JetBlue? What happened? Are times tough?
Yeah, hello. I got payroll, bro. But actually, you know what? JetBlue flies a lot very safely, very easily from San Juan. And I can always add
safely.
Miles
not,
on.
Not safely. Easily.
Well, it's easily to have him on the manifest, if you will.
Got it.
Just a
got
click.
It. Okay.
So anyway.
Anything goes, right?
On JetBlue, yes. Yes.
Yeah, no rules. No rules on JetBlue.
Well, they call me Passenger 57 when I'm on JetBlue. But
Wesley Snipes.
Yeah. So my point is I have this bowl, but no water. And this woman sits next to me. She's a giant bottle of water. Giant bottle. And I go, hi, would you mind if I have a little bit of water for my dog, please? And
okay.
So she's like, oh, yeah, sure. Makes the whole thing, pulls out her giant bottle of water. It's at least 40 ounces. Okay.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
pours a quarter of an ounce into the bowl.
So and give us an idea. Where is that in the bowl? Is that halfway up the bowl?
No. It's not, like.
It's nothing.
Nothing. It's like a quarter ounce.
Yeah.
Water.
Yeah,
and he drinks it. And I look at her and I go, oh, do you mind maybe she pours another quarter of an ounce. Okay. So it happens a second time. I do the same thing. It's getting more awkward for me, clearly.
Yeah.
Third time, and it's quarter ounce. So he quickly lapped it up. I didn't want to ask her again. I'm thinking to myself, who is this woman? What is wrong? What is the matter with this person? And so I was going to say
give us a demographic on this person. Older, younger?
Older woman, Caucasian, probably in her 50s, 60s, wearing a mask.
Wearing a mask. Ah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So is there a correlation there, you think, between not having empathy and wearing a mask?
Yeah. No, it's not about empathy. It's more of just being a tight ass, I think. So if you're wearing a mask at this stage, you know, where really no one's wearing a mask, either you are – you know, you have some illness and you are immunocompromised. So that I get. Or you're still worried about COVID.
No, she was eating food and drinking water, taking off her mask.
Yeah. Okay. So this woman she's just a tight ass. That's basically what it is, right?
Thank
and
you.
So if you're a tight ass in life, you're going to be a tight ass with everything you do. And it doesn't surprise me that she's wearing a mask and giving you minimal amounts of water for your dog. That seems to correlate to me, no?
Dave,
does that correlate to you?
Well, I'm pushing back on the details of the story. I'm having a hard time imagining that the dog drank, what is it? Now you got a full ounce? Is that enough? Usually dog like takes a few licks and then it's done. It never finishes the bowl.
No, that's not true. My dog will drink a whole bowl of water.
But Dave never
trusts my stories. He's also like plugged.
Well,
like,
your track record's spotty. Your track record's spotty. So let's
your
not. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it was actually a 300-pound teenage boy who sat next to me.
Omar, can I ask you this question? Let me ask you a follow-up.
Yeah.
During the flight, did she constantly drink water?
No.
Okay. So at the end of the flight, how much was left in that bottle?
three quarters.
Yeah, that's crazy to me then.
It's crazy.
If you had told me that she drank all that water during the flight, then I could understand she didn't want to spare any because she knows her body and she needed to hydrate completely, blah, blah, blah. But that's apparently not the case. So this is all lining up.
About an hour and a half into the flight, I get a full bottle of water from the flight attendant.
Right, service. You get the
yes.
Right, then you can.
And then I basically said very loudly, "Wow, he was thirsty."
I'm gonna take it from another angle because it just kind of popped into my head. Number one, she's probably not too keen on sitting next to a dude with a dog. That's the first thing. Second,
Miles is super cute.
I'm not saying Miles is not cute. Second, you're stuck in a plane and you've given a dog water. Do the math. The equal sign equals he's got to piss now. He's got to pee. He's got to go. So she probably didn't want to give him so much that this dog had to then urinate and might have done that right on the ground. Yeah, urinate.
Miles, who does that?
Who does? It's a dog.
Not on a plane.
What is he too sophisticated? When dogs got to go, they go.
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe
but
she.
Anyway, that was my look. You know how I am. I don't like to hear about people's travel stories or vacation stories, Dave.
Oh, it's a shame because I'm about to give you one.
Unless if there's murder, danger, falling in love,
don't worry.
Or celebrity sighting.
Now it's so funny that I was about to go to Dave to see how he's doing, but I'm just going to go right into myself to tell you how I'm doing because I had a very unusual encounter on a plane too, and I'm just going to feed right into off of yours, Omar. So that was definitely weird. Tell me if you think, Dave, be the judge. That's a weird one. Listen to what happened to me on the way back from St. Louis. So I was in St. Louis last week. I got to see Dave, and on my way back, I'm in the terminal. And there's a guy, and I'm going to call him 55, 60 years old. I'm going to call him not fat, but certainly not skinny, but closer to fat than skinny, if that makes sense. So kind of
skinny,
like
skinny fat?
Not skinny fat. No, he was full all over. So he's definitely like a linebacker, but like not a jacked up
like
linebacker.
Like double chins?
Like if he played football professionally in the 70s and now he looks like this. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So that's kind of that's the body type he has.
Played football in the 70s.
Maybe the 80s. This dude, for some reason, when they announce pre-board, he goes up there. And again, I'm looking. I'm like, I don't see any reason why this guy's got a pre-board. But he goes up there. He's got a garment bag. He has a backpack. And he has a roller bag, right? And, of course, you can't do that. It's American Airlines. I think no airline can you bring three bags on, right? Omar, you with me?
Can bring what on?
Three bags. You can't bring three bags.
Well.
And no airline can you bring three bags.
Unless if it's JetBlue and the third bag is your bag with your dog in it.
Well, okay. That doesn't count as a luggage.
Correct.
He's a soul.
Yeah.
He's a passenger.
Passenger.
So anyway. So, of course, he goes up there. He's the only one who goes up there to pre-board, and they tell him, sir, you can't have three bags. So he's pissed. But he doesn't say anything. Instead, he walks back to the seats right there and then flings his roller bag up against the desk at the gate. He throws it. So it goes on the wheels, and it's slid all the way to the person who had to check it. It was bizarre. Then he takes his garment bag and just throws it down on the ground in disgust. Meanwhile, says nothing. He says nothing. Then he picks it up, attaches it to his backpack, like in a way, and then proceeds to board the plane. So I'm like, boy, I even said something to the person next to me. Boy, that was weird because there was no exchanging of words either. So that was strange. So anyway, they continue the boarding process. It gets to me. I'm walking down the aisle, and I'm going – I was in row 13. I'm like, all right, here we go, 10, 11, 12. Here I am, and I look over, and who's in the middle seat? That dude.
Oh, my God.
Sitting next to me, and I'm on the aisle. So I sit down next to him. He's spilling over the seat, you know. Again, not in a horrible way, but enough like I know I'm not getting the armrest. I have no chance at these armrests, right?
Yeah.
And I just forfeit it. Whatever it is.
Was he splaying? Was he splaying?
He was, yes, 100%. He was letting you know that this is all my territory.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get my iPad out. I start watching my shows, get my AirPods in. And I don't want to, obviously, I don't want anyone to bother me. I do that immediately so no one talks to me. And I watch my shows. Excuse me. And then the drink service comes, right? Just like you.
Mm-hmm.
Comes to my row. I get a ginger ale and says to him, "What would you like, sir?" And this is what he says to the flight attendant. He says, "I want a beer. What kind of beer do you have?" And she lists, like, you know, they only have like three beers. And he says, and he wanted something else. I think he wanted Dos Equis. She's like, "We don't have Dos Equis. This is a plane." And he's like, "All right, I'll just take a Heineken, I'll take a water, and I'll take a black coffee." Now, I've never seen anyone order three drinks before. That's let alone that combination. And I even said to him, I said, "Oh no!" First the flight attendant says, "You want all that?" And he said, "Yes." And then I turn, I go, "Boy, that's a lot of beverages." And he says nothing to me. He doesn't give me any response whatsoever. So the flight attendant gives him his three
nothing?
Drinks. Nothing. This guy was strange. There was something not right, I think, in the head, quite honestly. And this guy proceeds for the flight. I'm kind of watching him out of the corner of my eye. I'm trying to concentrate on my show, but I can't because this guy is just drinking beer, then coffee, then beer, then coffee. It was so bizarre. I don't understand how you can mix beer and coffee like that back and forth. It was very weird. Then later on in the flight, of course, he has to go to the bathroom because he just inhaled 85 ounces of liquid. He goes. He gives me one of these. I can't show it. No one can hear me or see me, the listeners. But he like shrugs his shoulders and puts his palms out as if to say, "I have to get out to use the bathroom." But doesn't say anything. He just kind of gives me like a motion. So I said, "You have to go to the bathroom," and he just nods. So I get up.
Did he say that I'm about to have a motion?
No. A movement, you meant. So I get up, I let him out, and he waddles back to the bathroom very slowly, like I saw him in the terminal walk real slow. So I thought, okay, he's not going to be back for a while. So I get back into my show. I don't know. 6 minutes later, he gets two fingers. He takes his index finger and his middle finger, it felt like, and then just jabs me in the back of the shoulder blade. Doesn't give me a nice little, "Hey, bud, Pat, I'm ready to come back into my middle seat," or "Hey," or walk past me and then show me that he's there. And I go, "Oh, okay. He wants to get back in the seat." From behind, he just, like, as if he had a shiv and he was just trying to knife me in the shoulder, went boop. And just one time hard in my shoulder. And I turn around and I'm going, "Oh, do you want to get back in?" And he just nods. And I'm like, "This guy, there's something off about this guy." I wasn't about to start.
Was he wearing giant headphones like the guy from Something About Mary?
He was not. But then he took a seat and that was the rest of the flight. But I thought that was just so weird. It was so strange. Dave, what's weirder? That little circumstance or Omar's water-saving seatmate?
Seatmate, yeah.
I believe your story, Josh. I guess that's a big difference.
Yeah.
So, both strange. I wish I had a liquid story, but I'm still shaken. I'm doing good, if you
good.
Are caring to ask.
Yes, that was basically what I was going to ask next.
I assumed that was what was coming.
Yeah.
But I almost died today.
What?
Because, yeah, I was driving to drive up to Wisconsin. And on the way, my daughter called me, and she FaceTimed me, which is not something I should do on the road. Which
you did it while you were driving. While you were driving.
Well, I just answered it. I didn't realize it was FaceTime, and I see her face pop up. And she's like, "Hey, look at this, Dad." I'm like, "I'm driving." She goes, "No, just look at this." I'm like, "I'm driving." She goes, "Look at this." And she has a puppy. She just bought a puppy, and it would be like a baby Miles, Omar. You'd love this dog.
It's so cute. Wow.
Send you guys a picture. And I mean, it's just tiny, tiny. And so I realized that I'm driving and I'm close to her house, on my way up to Wisconsin. So I thought, "Ooh, I'm right by the exit. I'm going to just swing over. I want to see this dog." So I do that. And in the area of St. Louis that she lives, it's, you know, she's just got married. They're in their 20s, you know, so houses are expensive, but they were able to kind of pull together. So they have a very tiny house in a very packed neighborhood. In fact, their street is a one-way street, so cars park on the same side of the road everywhere. It's like a series of one-way streets. And so when you drive down the street, it's like a, you know, a very narrow one-way strip because you have cars on the side, right? So I'm driving to her place, and I come to a intersection, no stop sign, and there is a big truck on the intersection kind of parked on the sidewalk, but it blocks my view to the right. And I pull up, and I think, I don't see anyone coming. I didn't sense any cars coming, so I'm just going to go.
Yeah.
And I went out, and I thought, no, I'm going to stop and just look again. Pickup truck flies by, and he sees me pulling out. He panics and he starts to lose the wheel. He jams on the brake and he just missed the car, parked car, just missed it. But then he proceeds to roll down his window and let me have it. I'm still stopped at the intersection. I haven't moved. He rolls down his window and let me have it. So my question to you guys is, what do you do? Do you drive on or do you engage? What would you guys do? I'll tell you what I did.
I know exactly what I would do. I only engage. This is my rule. I only engage on the highway or on a street where we're moving. If it's a stopping situation, no, there's no engagement. I've seen too many things where people are nuts and they have like guns in their glove.
Can you describe this guy? Range. What did he look like?
Oh, don't do that. Are you gonna just?
Oh, you have a beard.
Are you gonna try to profile?
Do you have tattoos?
I would just say socially, economically, he would be in the lower half.
Listen to me, okay? I know what I would do. I would basically make him laugh.
You would make him laugh?
Yeah.
How are you doing that?
Omar thinks he's got a superpower to make people laugh.
This happened to me in New York City a long time ago. And a guy was about to run me over in a van because I cut him off on a motorcycle that I didn't know how to drive.
You were on the motorcycle or he was?
Correct.
Correct what? I asked the question.
I was on the motorcycle. Sorry. Yeah, and he was in a beat up van that had a grill that had other interactions, if you know what I'm saying.
All right.
So and so he's screaming at me as I cut him off. And this is people were listening. It's a hot day in August on Delancey in New York. And I wasn't well versed enough in a motorcycle to be able to scoot away because I would have been able to get the clutch down because I didn't know what I was doing on the motorcycle. It was like a 1975 BMW R69 motorcycle. Beautiful bike, but I had no business riding it. Anyway, he's screaming at me saying how he's going to run me over and how I cut him off.
And that's why you tried to deflect.
I look back at him and I go, and people are watching and I go, hey man, can I tell you something? I'm like, all I'm trying to do right now, I'm like, is look cool. I bought this bike yesterday. I have no idea how to ride a motorcycle. I want to look cool. You yelling at me is not helping. I say it like that. And
that's funny.
He looks at me and he goes, oh, man, that's cool. But everyone can relate to that. So David, with his daughter, it's already a stressful situation. His daughter doesn't want to be in the car with him.
No, she wasn't in the car.
She wasn't in the car. Are you listening to – do you listen to when we talk or no?
I get lost sometimes.
He doesn't like my stories. Yeah, right.
It's unbelievable.
Well, my point is, you can tie in something along that to deflate.
Deflect. He can't do that because unlike you, who's in a motorcycle, he's in a car with his windows up and air conditioning on.
Well, we don't have maybe that's a convertible.
No. It's I don't know if you know this, but it's 184 degrees Fahrenheit in St. Louis.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, that's without the humidity. So no one's got the windows down.
Is that Vin Diesel movie, Pitch Black, where it's really hot?
It's the surface of the sun there. I was just there. It is the surface of the sun.
Oh, my God.
Really bad.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I'll tell you what I did. So as Josh knows, and maybe Omar, you know, I'm like strangely confrontational. And
Yes, you are.
I've never seen Dave that way ever.
Yes, he is. I've seen it.
I'm not a mean person. Like, you know, in a calm moment, like I normally am complimentary and, you know, I try to do the right thing and be nice. But, you know, in a moment pushed in a corner, it's more of a fight than flight for me. So I rolled down my window and he's let me have it.
Wow.
And so I said.
What's he saying, by the way?
Well, he's like, how pull out? And he, I mean, I. It was gibberish as far as I was concerned.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. Forget about exactly what he said. Was it more of he was yelling you for what you did, or was it more of I want to fight you right now, get out of your car type yelling?
It was starting off as like, what is wrong with you, MF-er, you know, and it was okay. Because he was scared. Like, I really startled him.
I'm
sure his heart was racing, and his reaction was just to yell at me. So I rolled down the window. I said, dude, I said, I am very sorry. I didn't see you.
Okay.
I said, however, there's no stop signs on this intersection. There's a huge truck there. I can't see around it. And you fly through that intersection, you're going to get in an accident, if not with me, but with somebody else.
Yeah.
And so he pauses, or he just stops and looks
thinking.
At me.
He's reflecting.
And maybe he did. But at that moment, I realized, what if he gets out of his car? What do I do now?
Right. Like, right.
My daughter's place is just up the street.
Did
so,
you
I
tell
mean,
him that you had that you were on two very successful podcasts?
I are you a fan?
Yeah.
FTS? So he paused. He looked at me. I looked at him. And thankfully.
You fell in love.
He's in my car now. Say hi to Frank.
Hey, Frank. What a chance encounter.
Frank and I are.
Isn't that how when Harry Met Sally started?
It's exactly how it started.
It turns out he's warm-hearted, kind, very sensitive man.
Yeah.
And, it's good enough for me.
So what happened? How did he respond, Dave? I missed it. How did he respond to your comment?
I'm guessing he internalized it and realized he was in the wrong, of course. So my superpower isn't to make them laugh. It's to reason with them because I was right. I broke it down for him. He was going too fast.
Yeah.
I wasn't actually going. This truck was there.
I
laid it out for him.
I love it when I hear my friends who are married say that they're right because they can never say it to their wives.
Right. So they say
more in like these kinds of stories. It's fascinating.
Right. You have to take your wins when you can get them. Almost.
I've never heard either one of my brother-in-laws ever use that phrase to my wives. I was right. See?
Listen,
I
was. The problem with traffic confrontations is there's so many psychos out there, again, with bats and guns in their car. And if it's a situation where you're stopped and you can't get out of it,
that's
driving wise.
Where do you live?
It's not a point. I see it on TV.
In America.
I'm not a paranoid guy. I'm not that guy. But that's a situation I don't want to be in.
What are you talking about? Where do you see this?
It's on the news.
The news.
Road rage. You ever hear of road rage?
Of course, but it's because one out of 10,000. You got to listen. You got to trust humanity, man.
Okay, hold on. Let's go to this. Let's go to this real quick. You're right. It is one out of 10,000, whatever. And I'm a statistics guy, so normally I would say it's not going to happen.
Excuse me. You're what? You're a statistics?
Statistics guy.
What was that?
I'm a number statistics guy because you got me flustered. So, like, if you say, like, well, the shark attacks. Remember we talked about the shark attacks a while ago? And they're whatever. Let's say it's the same odds. I don't have a problem going in the water because I know the odds are very low, number one, that I'll get attacked. But I'm also getting something out of being in the water. It's enjoyable to actually go in the water. There's nothing I'm getting out of with a traffic confrontation.
Josh, I agree with you there.
So there's no positive for me either way. So if I'm moving, I'll give it back.
Content.
Yeah. I like to use my horn. I like the horn. Horn's underused.
On the highway.
I think it's underused. Yeah, I think it's underused. But if we're stopped like Dave, I'll just give him the wave and like, okay, just go on, just go. Let's go. Let's get on with our lives. We don't need.
I just can't imagine Dave in any way being having any kind of authority or being intimidating.
Omar, I've seen it.
It takes a lot to push me to that point, but once it gets there, then, it just comes out. And I don't have a good filter on it either, so I have to be careful.
If Dave feels slighted, he says something. He does not hold back. I've seen it.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's keep this going. So I'm glad you're alive, Dave. That's good. And Omar, I'm glad Miles did not get dehydrated. You were able to get some water, so that's all good stuff. Let's get into it. Let's start with you, Omar, because think you have something good, if I'm not mistaken. But hit us with what you got this week. What's on your mind?
So I think this is going to be – I was going to do the war on whole milk. But
interesting.
Another time. Yeah, I just can't order coffee or anywhere without having to be literally spell out the word whole.
What do you mean?
Well, also,
is this your topic or not?
No, it's not my topic.
So why are you going into it?
It's just annoying. but I think the listeners can appreciate that. They always think I mean oat milk. So I was spelled out.
What, stop. Now you have to go down the path. You force my hand. You're saying when you say whole milk,
correct,
they give you oat milk.
Yeah, like 30 to 40% of the time.
Do it in conversation. Pretend I'm a waiter and ask me for whole milk.
I would like a whole milk latte, please. Whole milk, W-H-O-L-E, please.
Oh, so, right, but you spell it.
Yeah, I have to. And the waiter goes, as an asshole?
That's funny. Yeah, because he's about to give you some asshole milk, and you don't want that.
Yeah, because whatever you spell it out to anybody, it's not going to be received well.
Yeah, why don't you just get cream? Just ask for half and half or something like that. Then it's not mistaken.
No, I refuse to be coward. It's like the war on Christmas. You know what I mean?
There's no war on Christmas.
Hello? Haven't you watched Fox News?
Yeah, all right. Go ahead. Go with your real topic.
Okay.
We're going to go down an awful road here in a second.
So I need some guidance on this. We all obviously learn to manage our parents as they get older.
Yes.
And, you know, my father, you know, when I go home, and I'll be spending a lot more time at home with my parents over the next, you know, towards the end of the year.
Okay.
And I am going to be, you know, setting up my office there. And,
interesting.
Mm-hmm. And okay. So there's a couple of dynamics here that are, and I'm curious how you guys feel about it. Number one is, my dad, as you guys know, is a notorious hoarder.
Yes.
Right. And so I always am, you know, working around in a – have you guys ever worked for in an area that has hoarding?
No. Uh-uh. I've seen it on TV, obviously, and I've seen your dad's gene collection. But
yeah,
beyond that, no, I've never physically been in a hoarder's presence.
So
that's not true. I saw it once. I saw it once at a garage sale. Where this guy was a hoarder, and they almost like forced to get all his crap out. But anyway, keep going.
So I just sent you guys a picture of my office that I set up. That is my parents' formal dining room.
God! Let me just tell the listeners what I'm looking at here. So Omar has sent a picture. He's got his screen set up, his computer with a keyboard at the dining room table, and then behind the keyboard is just a bevy of
I sent you another picture, which is from the other side.
I'm seeing a glass jar of some sort. I'm seeing a empty vase. I'm seeing a box of fruit snacks. I'm seeing a teacup. I'm seeing a big box of Nature's Valley. I believe those are granola bars.
Yeah.
Is that right? That's in there?
If you go to the other picture, you'll see the other angle.
All right, let's go to the other picture. There it is. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I mean, there's stuff on the floor.
Yeah, everywhere.
I see a huge bag of Splenda on the floor. There's a stripper just thrown against the wall somewhere. On the couch behind the table, I see a mountain of clothes.
Yes, exactly.
So this is crazy. On every single every single dining room chair, there is something thrown on top of it. Every single dining room chair. You can't sit down here.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Of course, I can't let stop. Is Josh, what do you call the item that you put flowers in, put water when you receive flowers?
A vase.
A vase?
Not a vase.
Vase or vase?
A vase.
No, what? A vase.
Vase.
Why are you're saying like it's a Z? A vase?
A vase.
A vase. How do you say – how do you say face?
Face.
Face. Now say vase.
Vase.
No, I'm saying it says V-A-Z. It says you pronounce it V-A-Z. I'm looking at the pronunciation right now on Cambridge.
What do you mean you're looking at the pronunciation? How do you look at a pronunciation?
I Googled it, and it says that UK is
What
is that? Vaz. Is
thank
UK.
You. Vaz.
And US is vase.
Vase. Thank you. I'm right.
No, what you said vase.
No, vase. Now I've said it so many times it has no meaning.
It doesn't.
None of this.
You've ruined the word for me.
So back to this. Okay. So basically, like, I have been lobbying and alluding to my father that if they want me to come back more often, he needs to clean his act up, so to speak.
Yes.
And I set up my computer. You can see, and it's such a big screen. I can't see the madness behind it.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to be able to actually do it, because I can't see the madness. And I don't want to, like, disrupt my dad's, like, I don't know if there's any organization on the table.
Maybe. No, there's clearly no organization on that table. There's definitely no organization. But what's amazing is that you were able to even get your computer on there and actually set up an actual
There's so much crap on there, I didn't even try and move things. I just pushed it all back. You know what I mean? I put the computer on the table and just pushed the computer, and that's it pushed everything that was on the table further back.
That's what's amazing about the whole thing, is that you actually were able to do it. You set it up.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to leave it that way, and I'll be able to do it. Because I remember I do all my very important work calls, because as listeners know, I'm a business person.
You are.
So that is one, I think, battle I'm not going to fight. Right. But the other battle that I'm having a lot of problem with is my father loves to watch movies, but he only watches movies that have no dialogue and constant fighting. If there's any dialogue in the movie, my father does not want to watch it.
Like a silent kung fu movie?
Well, he likes, like, James Bond. He likes, like, Fast and Furious.
Well, there's dialogue in those.
Anything with Jason Statham in it. You know, he wants to see, like, constant action. And
all right, so minimal dialogue. Minimal
correct.
Dialogue.
But anything remotely close to dialogue. Like, John Wick, he is good for him. But, like, anything involving any kind of real character development, he does not like.
What about the Three Stooges? Is he into the Three Stooges?
No.
There's very little character development there.
No, he needs to see fighting and action.
That is fighting.
But, like, blowing up, like explosions.
Oh, okay. They don't. You know? Yeah, the Stooges don't blow anything up.
And
it's a little bit of insight of how Omar was raised. His father always wants little talking, just a lot of action.
My father said the secret to any marriage is you should say no more than 25 words to your wife each day. That's it.
Yeah, I don't think he got that from Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. That one he kind of made up.
He's like that way there's minimal problems. And and it's a happy – he's like – he always says to me, that's the key, 25 words.
I think that's the worst advice I've ever heard.
That sounds terrible.
Listen, proof of the pudding.
Isn't the biggest complaint from women that men don't communicate enough?
Yeah.
Hello? Did they get crickets?
Yeah.
Crickets?
I guess that's true. I mean.
Yes.
Omar reached his 25-word limit.
Yeah, that's right. He's done.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, back to the
So what does that do for you?
So he makes me spend, hours trying to find a movie that he'll want to watch. And if I put one on, he'll like it. But here's the thing. Within 7 to 8 minutes of putting on any movie, he's fast asleep. Okay. Now, the minute that I get up to even put my hand on the remote, he somehow wakes up.
He wakes up. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, the smallest movements. And so, like.
Like a dog. Like, my dog will be sleeping soundly, and then if there's a little, like, rustle outside, boom, head pops up. Got to know what the hell's going on.
So, I guess I got to pick. This is also equally as frustrating for me, because he has it on volume, like, 10. Right? And so, like, I'm trying to figure out which battle do I fight.
Which battle? You mean the clutter or the movie?
Correct.
Oh.
The volume with the movie with, this is going on the whole day.
Both.
But I should fight both battles?
Yeah, yeah. Let me tell you something. My mother, when we are at down the beach, and my sister's family's there too, my mother has this horrible habit of, it doesn't matter who's sitting there, she will pick up any glass that she sees lying on any table or
drink it
or stand. Not drink it. She cleans it up.
Oh, I would drink it.
No, well, okay, Spalding. She picks it up and she puts it in the dishwasher, and then you turn around and you go, where did my drink go?
What, the drink can be full?
Yes, it doesn't matter. She's cleaning it up. It's unbelievable. And she's closing the blinds at like 6 o'clock. We're like, Mom, there's still
a couple hours of daylight. We'd like the sunshine to shine in a little bit. Yeah.
So you fight those battles. Do you find any progress?
Every time. I fight them every time. Yeah, no, I don't. And what I do, Dave, is I did this the other day, which everyone got a big kick out of. As my mom collected the cups to put them away, then she went in the other room. I then went into the cupboard and got about 15 other new cups and then put them all around the room where we were. And then she came out and she's kind of like doing a side eye. And then she starts picking the cups up again and putting them away. And I did it again. And then she started to realize, oh, wait a second. You're just screwing with me. But I'm trying to drive home the point to her. Like, this is crazy. We're adults. We'll put our cups away when we're done. We're not going to leave them out. I'm not 7 years old anymore.
My advice is you fight neither battle.
Neither.
I'm neither. Complete yes, because they're not going to change. So my folks, there's a number of things. My dad's favorite, almost every sentence my dad says starts with, you know what I would do? And I actually have picked up on that myself. And my kids, when I complain about that, my dad says that, my kids are like, oh, listen to you, because apparently funny. I've picked up on that quite a bit. But I think one of the things my parents do is they constantly offer me food all nonstop. I'll come over and be like, you want an orange? You want a sandwich? And what my mom will do, we'll sit down for lunch and we'll literally sit down. We just got plates full of food and she'll like, you want some of my potatoes? I'm like, I just started. I haven't finished my potatoes. Like, and so I have to like say when I get there, I've eaten. Don't offer me anything, please. Like, I'm not eating.
But she still does.
They can't. Yes. You can't help it. Want a roll?
She's thinking about you and your nourishment and taking care of you because she's still your mom. And so that's nice.
So I don't fight that battle. I just have tried, and it doesn't work.
But that's not a battle that's so bad. Like if I have to keep going up and refilling my cup because half of my drink keeps disappearing, it gets kind of annoying.
Well, I think the point is they have habits.
Josh's house is at the Bermuda Triangle of glasses.
It is. We turn around like, where did the drink go?
No. It's the Area 51 of glasses. Yeah, see what I did there, Dave?
Yes, that's called a callback.
Brought
it all together. Yep.
Yeah, it's a callback. Yeah. Well done.
Very, very good. You should get a glass that's somehow stuck to the table, like nail it something to the table, and
How I'm battling it is I'm trying to expose her neuroses.
Yeah.
And hopefully that shames her into stopping the behavior. But it so far hasn't worked yet, so I might have to try something different.
No, how old is she? Roughly.
Mid-70s.
There's no changing habits at this point. Omar, your dad must be 70s, right? 80s, maybe? He's not changing his hoarding or his movie habits. You got to adapt at this point.
The hoarding you're not going to fix. It's just not going to happen because I've seen hoarders on whatever channel that is, TLC or Discovery or one of those. It's impossible to get through to those people. Impossible. Yeah. They're keeping the most inane things. It's one thing if you're like, why are you keeping all these shirts or jeans like your dad? Like, okay, jeans. At least they're usable. You can wear them. But if you're keeping like trash, like empty egg cartons, which some of these people are doing, there's no rhyme or reason for that. It's insanity.
Speaking of, Josh, do you know what the difference is? Like, do you know what innate means?
I'm aware of what innate means.
And you know what inane means as
yes.
well?
Yes. Okay. What did I use?
You used it correctly. You said,
I thought I did.
That's innate. What you said. Base incorrectly.
Base. All right. You want to wrap, put a bow on this?
Well, I want to say with Omar.
Oh,
Omar,
Dave,
you've got
Dave answer.
Yeah. What you've got to do is figure out how can you survive a situation you can't change. So if you're going to watch a movie like your dad.
Drugs.
Well, I'm surprised you haven't gone there yet.
He's gone there.
He can pass out. You pass out. Nobody's hurt.
That's right.
Everyone's
happy.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Those are the roofies.
Can I ask you something? Is he watching the movie in the main room where you're working?
Yes. Adjacent. Yeah. Next.
So you hear it. So it's annoying. Yeah. It's distracting.
But once he falls asleep, quote unquote. Do you want to get out of there or are you happy with just being there?
He wants
in
to turn it off.
And,
he wants to turn the movie
you
off.
Want
to,
well, why?
I want to turn the volume down. But the second I press the down button, he wakes up.
Oh, well, then you get earbuds and block
the sound.
No, you. You wear your
on
butt.
You.
Oh. 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 Oh, well, that's what I actually have been doing. It's funny. I have my AirPods.
You solved this problem. You solved
it. Well, I'm trying to see if there's another way to do it. But I think David's
I suppose
right.
You could put earbuds in his ears and let the movie go to his ears.
Can
and
I
you
tell
you
what?
Tiptoe out of there.
Can I tell you what I used to,
like
a
Scooby-Doo episode?
Can I tell you what I used to do to my sophomore roommate that's similar sure. to this? And believe it or not, I know this is weird. My sophomore year roommate, nice guy. But he had a little bit of a problem with the, what do you call it, the marijuana. And so he would go out and get stoned all the time, right? And he would come back to the dorm. And we had, you know, it was a small dorm room. We had our beds, you know, side by side. And in between us was the fridge with our, you know, shit on top of the fridge.
William Perry?
No, not William Perry. He was not there.
William the refrigerator Perry?
Yes, not the refrigerator Perry. It was an actual refrigerator. And then he would put on, and this was the days before, you know, we had a VCR and a TV, and he would put on Aladdin at like volume 9 while I'm sleeping at like 3 a.m. when he came home and just laugh his ass off. And I'd be like, Drew, I'm sleeping. Can you not watch Aladdin? You know,
this
right
is
now?
A roommate you picked or you got stuck with?
Yeah, him? I picked him. We were friends.
Okay. All right.
Where is this Drew now? Is he alive?
Yeah, I haven't talked to him in a long time. But
wouldn't it be funny if Drew was the guy who pulled over? And I yelled at Dave.
Yeah, right.
That would be great. So this is what I did, Omar. Are you ready for this? Here's what I did. I changed the cord for the TV. It used to go in the wall behind it, but I wrapped it all the way around with an extension cord and put it and replugged it in next to my bed. And when he would come home at 3-4 a.m. and turn on Aladdin, I would roll over and without him knowing, just unplug the TV. And it would go out, and he'd go, oh. And then he'd fall asleep. Then he'd go to bed.
That's good, Josh. That's the right? solution. You can't fix your pothead friend.
Hilarious. It was hilarious. And he never understood why it was happening. And the following day, he'd say, I think we got a short or something because our TV keeps going out. And I would just play along. Oh, that sucks. I'd even noticed that. But he would, you know, that's how I would diffuse it because I wanted to sleep at 4 a.m. Imagine that. It was funny. Yeah.
That is brilliant. Yeah. Well, I think that's something there for you to work with, Omar. You got to creatively, work around the problem that you have with your father.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what's funny about this whole thing is that my mother literally has my dad on Prozac. She doesn't even know he's on it. Yeah, because Prozac
that's
apparently.
Whole other show.
Prozac helps with like OCD that's and hoarding.
Crazy.
My mom's a doctor.
She's drugging your dad without his knowledge.
Well, my dad takes probably 6 pills a day for other things.
Yeah, don't sugarcoat it. She's putting a pill in there he's not aware of.
Yeah, it's a crime.
That's crazy.
I tell you, my dad's a lot more bearable with that Prozac.
Well, there you go. All right, so
he's always in a good mood.
The ends justify the means.
Throw some Xanax in there. He'll be out and you can sneak away.
Unbelievable. Now, hopefully your dad doesn't listen to this episode because that will that will cause a whole rift in your house.
I'm guessing this isn't
one of his.
No.
We'll find out. Guess.
Do anyone's parents listen to podcasts?
Yeah, mine do.
Do they?
Yeah.
Mine do not.
Yeah, mine love
it. Wait, your parents listen to this podcast?
Yes, this podcast.
And they're still proud of you?
Well, I didn't say that, but they
still. What do they think about Dave and I?
Oh, you don't want to know. You don't want to know.
Yeah. Are they telling you to go solo? Are they pressing you to do it on your own?
Listen, my dad wrote into the show.
His dad and his mom call him Beyonce.
Yeah, the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, we have plans to Johnny Bravo this mess, so don't worry. It'll happen. All right, Omar. All right. Good topic.
Well,
Dave, you want
to? So I guess what I'm going to do then is.
All right.
Yeah, I think we're good. I'll keep you updated, but I'll be there. I'll be recording from there for sure in October.
All right, good. I want updates on that because that's incredibly interesting.
Speaking of updates, Omar, have you tried your line on anyone else?
What line?
I'm not the. I don't want to talk to you, but I just want to buy you a drink just because.
Refresh everyone's memory, Dave.
Yeah. So Omar said he was at a bar and he's talking to his friend. And these two women came up to the bar, and he said something to the effect of saying, "Hey,
I have the best news you're going to hear all night.
Right. I'm going to buy you a drink, and I have no intention of talking to you. I just want to buy you a drink. And, of course, that got them curious as to who is this nut, and ended up taking her home, and I don't know what else happened. But but we loved the line. We thought it was a genius line, and you were supposed to go out and try it again. Did you?
Well, you want to know what? I'm going to do it tonight. I'm going out in Martha's Vineyard, and this is like prime target. Michelle and Barack Obama are in town, so there's a lot going on here. If you know what I mean.
Don't go kayaking.
I don't know what any of that means, but okay, yeah, that sounds good.
You want my topic?
All right, let's move this along, Dave. What do you got?
All right, so my topic is I want to talk a little bit about the conference that we put on this week. So Josh and I work for an organization that every year in the summer puts on a conference where we bring in speakers and guests and different things. We talk about various topics. We're in the investment business, I guess I could say. So we talk about
you can say that. We talk about
like clean energy or food and artificial intelligence and
interesting stuff.
Excellent, excellent conference. We got really good feedback from it. It's it's
just don't that main conference. It's just so.
What are you talking about?
Listen, it's you run conferences too.
I know, and one of our mottos is we're the least worst event you'll ever go to. All conferences are terrible. The least worst conference you'll ever go to.
Well, okay, so I would say we give you a run for your money because our conference everyone loved it.
Yeah. Oh. It's good.
And we shaped it in the way that, right, I don't like conferences either. I feel like sessions go an hour when people only have something interesting to say for maybe 15
minutes. Who is emceeing this thing?
Dave.
Well, that's an interesting question. So I guess Dave. There's a few people that could emcee. I suppose I start and end it, which I did.
Dave kicks it off. He sets the stage, kicks it off.
So I'm going to go into details of my kickoff, and then I also want to mention something that Josh did. I want to see if you think about his.
I know where this is going.
So
did Josh pass gas again on Mike?
He did the audible equivalent of passing gas as a moderator of a panel.
Did he say the N-word?
No, stop. Get out of here.
He said the NK word, which I'll explain in a minute.
Yes.
But I'll go with mine first. So when I was doing my intro last few years, when I do an intro, I kind of set the stage, right? My goal is to say hello, everybody, and thank you for people that do this and that. And then I give some sort of overarching thoughts of how I'm feeling about the world or something. And then I kick it off and we have a series of panels and people speaking, right? Well, this year, I was given the task of having to, so our head of marketing wanted to do us go up at the same time, do it together and make it sort of a dialogue where, and the idea was,
what are you guys, Sonny and Cher?
That's basically where this is going, Omar.
Wait, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, you read that one.
You're right on it.
Yeah.
So the idea was we're going to do what it's like, a day in a life of the two of us planning the conference. And so I was like, oh boy, I don't know how to do that. And so, Josh, you saw it. Omar, I was curious what your thoughts are. So that was what the instruction I was given and what we ended up executing. Should I just tell you what we did, or do you want to give me ideas of what we should do? If that's your instruction, we're gonna do a dialogue. We're going to do a day in a life in planning the conference. Do you go funny? Do you do serious? Like, what do you do with that instruction? And I'll tell you what we did do.
I'm all about engagement, and I can't help but be funny.
So you do funny.
Yeah, of course. Listen, I'm incapable of having a serious conversation for longer than 7 to 8 seconds.
Well, that's true. Well, then you might appreciate this. Well, this is what I did. Josh, since you saw, I'll say what we did.
Give me
a review of what you did. But I understand, by the end of it, I wasn't proud of it. I thought it was super corny. But what I did do is that, she would go up and say, we thought in order to introduce the conference, we're going to do you a little play of what's a day in a life of planning a conference where we disagree a lot. And so that's what I did. We went up and we did this planned dialogue of how we were planning the conference. And I said, and this was my idea, which I thought was one way to get around this. I said, hey, instead of planning the conference, why don't we let ChatGPT plan the conference for us or figure out the dialogue? It was kind of a meta thing. We had ChatGPT do the dialogue of what we were going to say as a day in a life in the conference. Well, I'm not explaining.
Artificial intelligence would write your script.
Yeah, there. And so we ended up then reading off a script that ChatGPT gave us, where it was playful and supposed to be funny, and it was corny. I'm not explaining it very well. But no, Josh, what is your review of, or how would you describe it? I didn't do a good job of it.
Yeah. So basically, in order to get around appearing as if they were writing a horrible
wait, was there? Did you guys have a? Were there any like Me Too, like funny, like Me Too moment?
No.
It was very clean, Omar. It was very above board. But it was more of just a conversation.
How about like a Matt Lauer, like locking the door?
No, didn't go there. None of that.
Maybe like photocopies of some body parts.
No, it didn't do that. So the conference theme was the 80s because we were comparing the time, economic times of today to the 80s.
So maybe like a mirror with some cocaine on it.
Incorrect.
But what we did right now, I'm thinking Die Hard.
So some of the dialogue would be like, gee, that's totally tubular. Let's talk about, maybe we could talk about clean energy.
Or maybe like, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Right? Well, that did not come up.
Didn't do that one.
Yeah.
So it ended up being very corny, but you're right. I used ChatGPT because we're going to do a script
either
way.
Shield.
That was my shield. That's exactly right. I was saying, I'm not doing this conversation. ChatGPT is
smart.
Conversation.
Yes.
Right?
And so it was ChatGPT. It's what ChatGPT wrote when you put in the prompt for this intro.
That's right. So I wasn't very proud of it.
Part of the prompt was, don't get me fired.
Yes.
Please write that does not get me fired.
Totally clean. Yeah. And so, Josh, I didn't ask you, what was your review of it?
Ooh. Listen, I thought it was corny, but in a endearing way, I guess is the best way to put it. I mean, if you had not said it was ChatGPT, I think people would have been like, oh boy, this is
big groaner, right?
Yeah, groaner. But because it tied in with a lot of what we talked about was artificial intelligence and the 80s. And so it was cutesy. That's how I put it. Yeah, I guess that's the best way to describe it. It was cutesy.
It was Omar-like. Omar, you start your conferences with shtick, right?
Yeah, it's shtick. It was shtick.
Yeah, it was shtick. So
wait a second. I take such umbrage to that word.
Why?
Because
it's positive.
Well, no, because it implies this is how I'm always like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're always doing shtick.
Is it shtick like a razor? I mean,
no.
That's shtick. That's
shtick, and you keep that in your vase on your on your bathroom counter.
Well, let me give you the second thing from this conference. So anyway, I feel like it was an unsuccessful shtick. I should have had you help, Omar. But it was what it was. The
I would
second
love
thing,
that. It's fun to engage with
it
you
was
guys.
Well received. Yeah. It was well received.
It kicks off with some serious topics in like a lighthearted way. And,
yeah, that's right.
So,
you know, I have to say, by the way, whenever I write anything, I feel pressure to talk to each of you to get your opinion.
First, you don't write anything. You scribble something, and then I write something.
Not true. I contributed some.
Those two, it's true.
Every once in a while.
Yeah. It's great.
Well, anyway, so Omar, you'll appreciate this. So Josh later on is moderating a panel, right? So Josh feels the need when he's got a microphone that it's not time to like get information out to express to the audience, you know, what we're trying to do. Josh sees this as an opportunity to tell jokes. I mean, you can see it. Like, as soon as he sits down, there's a glint in his eye. He's looking across the audience. I said,
okay, can I ask you something, Dave? Dave, let me ask you this. Because do you think that some of the audience is actually wanting that? Like,
yes.
I'm sure some of them are.
I was told that.
And what percentage do you think it is?
It's more than
50.
50%?
Thank
you. It's over 50.
Thank
you.
But it's not 100. I don't know who it is.
That's funny.
It's a high number. Tell me if you think this is too far. So he's moderating a panel, right? Three people are on the panel.
Three.
Josh had not met these people before, I think, in person. Is that true? Or
no, I had met one of them in person, but I did not have a very deep relationship with any of them.
Yeah. So these were kind of like people you could desperately joke with.
No.
So he gets through the introductions, or has each one introduce themselves. All right, Omar, you gotta listen to this. You can't be
walking
your dog here.
He's listening.
So Jess, all right, let's get started. And he says, Mr. So-and-so, your first investment was a oil company in North Korea.
Controversial.
You say it. Go ahead. You say it.
This is what I did, Omar. Mm-hmm. I also, just to give you background, I had a pre-call with them as well, with the panelists, a few weeks back saying, hey, these are the topics I'd like to go over. Do you guys like them? Are these questions that you feel comfortable answering? And we were all on board, and they basically knew the questions I was going to ask. So that's the setup. So I said
– Did they know that you are a bit of a
– As no. you are?
No. They have no clue. No idea.
What did they say? A ham?
No, they have no idea. So I said – You know, I set the stage with some stats, right? I said, you know, here's what's happening in green energy and the transition, blah, blah, blah. So let's now get into the conversation. I said to the one panelist, I said, Mr. So-and-so, let's get right into it. Can you comment on the recent controversial investment you made in Pyongyang, North Korea, and how you can justify putting capital to work there?
Well, okay.
Go ahead. Then you
so
think
then he asks the question, then he pauses. The guy who he asks the question to is stares out at the audience with not a change in his face at all. So everyone, I assumed it was a joke, haha, but then he didn't budge. Josh didn't budge.
Everyone
is silent.
Josh didn't budge.
I kept it serious.
Oh my God.
For a half a second, I thought, did he really make an investment in North Korea? And then Josh goes, I'm just kidding. And the poor panelist goes, this isn't fair.
But it was crickets. Crickets across the whole thing. Everyone is dead silent. Like, did this firm make an investment in North Korea? What is – because their money is in that.
Yeah, right.
They're investors. The people in the audience are investors. Like, is our money in North Korea? Yeah.
There was a nervous laughter. So
I wrote that joke 3 minutes before I went up there.
Too far, Omar, or just right? You're the wrong person to ask, but what do you think?
I think that that's interesting because Josh has a lot of people who like rely on him, who he makes an impression on, including you, Dave.
A lot of that crowd had seen me before. They'd seen me many years before.
It's too late for me.
Now, I do think that Josh. The one thing I would say is I love it. I think it's great.
Thank you.
I love you held on to it for so long. I would have cracked within a millisecond, as you know. But I would have perhaps asked Dave.
No.
Before I went on stage.
No, I can't do that. I can't do that.
Yeah, I don't know what I would have said.
I know the limitations. I don't ever cross over the line. I've never done it. I've never crossed over the line. I do this year after year after year. What number is this? How many years have we done this, Dave?
I think it's 9 or 10.
9 or 10 years.
Yeah.
I do this every time.
Is this, Josh, is this your, like, seminal moment every year? Because you just love – it's amazing how – if you were a quarter as excited about your job and your relationships.
No question.
About,
you can see the look on his face when he gets up on stage. It's like, oh, my gosh, here it comes.
It's true. I mean, David, right? It's like, oh, my God. It is something else. It's
fun.
Something else.
Now, if you had asked me, I think I would have said, I don't know. But so I'm glad you didn't ask. Because it did. It was a joke that could have gone south. It could have been, but it did work. It worked. No one got upset.
Actually, you know what, Josh? You did it the right way. You want to know why? Because you didn't ask Dave, he wasn't involved.
Yeah,
that's correct.
In case it did cross that line, the line of woke or whatever the term is, right, you would go down and you will go down alone.
Yes, right. But listen, I think I've been around long enough where I know what is.
I mean, you are in some ways the Lenny Bruce, right?
Yeah, very much.
Of the LP community. I mean, right. Let's be honest.
Which is a narrow group of people.
I'm the what's the woman from Maisel, whatever.
Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah.
Listen, I know the audience. I've seen these. I've been with these people before, for the most part. So.
For me, the one time I have done it, or just not getting laughter can be really, really, and I've done it at weddings, I've done it a lot, I think about it, and like it does have an impact a little bit on me. Did you have other material after that?
Yeah, I did a couple
that
things.
Like more, yeah. I should have, openly well received?
Yeah, yeah. So I do a couple. So the first, that wasn't my first.
Can I have a suggestion, actually? Yeah, yeah. Is that your 10th anniversary, perhaps?
Let's say yes.
Yeah.
Okay, let's say yes. Yeah. So number one, I would like to come, number one.
Okay.
I don't think that's an unreasonable request at all.
No, no. I think you got an invitation to this one. You just didn't show up.
I'm sure you did.
And number two, I think we should let Josh, like, have, like, a 3-minute routine opening act before opening, before he has any battles. Mm. And let him, it's just like, I think it'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be interesting. It'd be really, really, really
I don't see how that's different than what we're doing right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty much doing that now. I was just about to say, I was on another panel later on, Omar, where I was not moderating. I was just on the panel. And I had a 2 to 3 things before the panel even started.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you could see it on Omar's face. Yep.
I did impromptu over the moderator. Before the moderator could start, I had to get in my, my two lines.
Yeah, you've pitched off. What's it called for JD when you... With a book?
What? I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
When you get a screen and you look at the screen, you got to like, oh, punch up. Punch up. You have punched up my stuff. You have saved me.
See? You got to deliver it right, though.
Everyone's important.
Yeah. But I did get a lot of feedback off that North Korea line. After it was over, we had a break. I got a lot of people coming up to me and telling me that was good.
It hit.
How often are you – you know, there is this book I'm reading. It's such a wonderful book. It's called The Originals by Adam Grant. He's a Chicago professor. And he talks about like creativity and like entrepreneurship and stuff. One of the
He wrote Think Again.
Think
Again that way.
Yeah. And one of the things, there's a study that showed that one of the most common qualities for people who are creative is openness. And he defined openness as the ability to be moved by music or art. It's and I was like, wow, have I had art or music like recently, like actually move me? And my sister and her, you know, who is in the art field, she does all the time. And I'm like, it's the same thing as going to church and being engaged by the preacher. And like, that's a level of emotion. That's kind of intense. I wish I could have that, but I don't have it.
Hmm. I don't know where that came from.
I think that you engaging people in some ways is kind of like that. It's very hard to engage people. At anything that's that large, especially in the environment that you're doing.
I appreciate that.
I applaud you.
Oh,
well, that's what comedy is, right? Comedy is a form of art.
I thought I wasn't going anywhere with that. It was very funny.
I didn't know where that was going, but it ended up in a beautiful, beautiful place.
It turned out to be a nice comedy.
Yes.
All right, that's my topic.
All right, Dave. Let me wrap up. I got something relatively quick here that we can put a ribbon on this episode. But so I my wife and I went to a restaurant not too long ago, and it was a restaurant we hadn't been to before, and it just was one of those where it was right there, and we're like, hey, let's just stop and eat here. And so we did. It was a place called Bar Taco. I think it's a chain. I don't know if it's by you guys. I'm pretty sure. Whatever. It doesn't matter. And it's a Mexican place, and we got seated, and right on the table, there was a QR code. So we're like, okay, I guess the menu's on the QR code. We put our phones out and bring, and then it was more than just the menu. It was, you could actually order your meal on your phone. And then I realized, oh my God, there's no waiters or waitresses. There's no servers. Someone came over and gave us water. And I said, do we just order on the phone and it just comes? He goes, yeah, that's what you do. You order on the phone and then it shows up. I'm like, oh my God, this is great. And so we did that. It came in great, you know, great time. It was entirely right. And then I paid the bill right on my phone when we were done.
Did you tip?
Yeah, of course. But that was weird because you're right. Hold on. I shouldn't say of course, because we had no one server. There were people who brought some food over, different people that brought my food over versus our chips versus our entree. There was someone who brought drinks over early that wasn't the same person. So it was no one person, but there is a place for tip. And I always feel like you kind of like in that situation, like, well, there's still servers, but they're not one server, but still we should probably tip them. So I tip like a normal thing. It's where like it's self-serve and you turn that screen around. They're like, tip. That's what's driving me nuts these days. But I think we've talked about that before. But anyway, it was such a pleasant experience, right? And it was still a sit-down meal. It was still a good meal. It was great. Fast forward to last night. We're on the beach, and we decided it was such a nice day. We're like, let's just stay on the beach, and we'll order dinner to the beach. And we'll eat on the beach. I'm like, oh, that's great. Nothing better. My sister calls in the order. She gets everyone's order. She writes it down on her iPhone, then proceeds to read it to the guy on the thing. We got to walk all the way off the beach and meet the guy and then get our food and then come back. And then we realized two things. Number one, we realized first he forgot our drinks. So we had to call him back like, hey, you never gave us our drinks. Then he had to go to the store, get the drinks, come back. And then we had to go back to meet him. And then before we could finally eat. And then I noticed when I opened mine, it was wrong. So I ordered a turkey club with no tomato. I don't like tomato, and there was a tomato in it. Not a huge deal, but you can just take the tomato out, obviously. But still wrong, right? And now I started to realize, you know what? I'm done ordering food or doing anything where there's no app. I'm doing everything with an app from now on. That's it. Because I've noticed, like an order screen at a Wawa or at a whatever, you can customize it and put in. And it's always right. It's always right because there's no telephone. You know what I mean? There's no interpretation of things. There's no interpretation of someone's handwritten chicken scratch. It's typed and it's very clear, no tomato. And it's right in front of them and there's no mistaking it. And I am done. I'm a people person, but I'm done with people in these situations. No, I don't want to do it anymore. I want everything to go this way. I want everything to be order on an app, do it on an app, pay on the app, end of story. Wouldn't that be better?
Well, are you saying that's what you desire? Because you can't execute this plan unless it's only fast food.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
A nice restaurant, you think you
can have? Bar Taco is not fast food.
Well, I'm talking about a nice restaurant then. Like a steakhouse.
Yeah, if it's a fine dining establishment, it's a little bit different. You tend not to get things that are wrong in a fine dining establishment. Whatever. That's the exception to the rule. But I'm talking like almost everything else in life with transactions. I want them to happen through the app.
I've had screwed up orders before on apps.
You have?
It's my fault.
You put it in wrong.
No, that's not true. I mean, and sometimes I haven't said anything. Then other times I have, and it's been just flat out things missing. Like Uber Eats or DoorDash, they give me a full refund. But so it has happened because ultimately there is still human intervention. Josh wants a world of like fucking robots. Okay, this is like honestly, no, Josh, this you have no humanity. Ironically,
it's not about that.
It is. What is more? What is what is better than having other human beings serve you? It's fucking awesome.
Well, that sounds weird. First of all, people still have to bring it to you. Like in the Philadelphia airport, they now have restaurants where you sit down and in front of you is like a mini iPad and you type in exactly what you want. You swipe your credit card at the top of it and someone eventually brings
apparently
the food.
It's only in Philadelphia.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
New technology.
New technology. Right to where you're sitting. They bring it right to where you're sitting and you paid for it. It's done. My wife and I went out to dinner to celebrate our anniversary this weekend, right? And we went to a nice restaurant. So it was wonderful. It was a great experience. But, you know, when the meal's over and you ask for the check, you then give them your credit card and you do this dance where you have to find them. You got to wave them down. You tell them you want the check. They see you. Then they go away to go process the check or print it out or do whatever the hell they do. They bring it over in the little booklet. Then you have to put your card in there. Then you have to flag them down again. And then they come find you. They take your check and the booklet and the credit card. They go off and they process it, and eventually they come back and give you your card. That is crazy.
Yeah, I'm done with that song and dance.
That's crazy.
I'm ready to be done with that.
Yeah. Done. On my phone is my whole check, and I just pay with it, Venmo or PayPal or whatever, Apple Pay, right on my phone. It's seamless.
So
there's
you
no
not
mistake.
Want, you,
I don't
you
lose
like not
my credit
want,
card.
You like what? Not want menus anymore? You wanted to scan that code and have the menu.
I don't mind the menu.
Want to keep menus. I think menus is still acceptable.
Don't mind it. But what I did love is ordering directly on my phone. I did like that. So that the menu's got to be on your phone if you're going
to. I like being able to order on my phone And one of my big pet peeves with restaurants is when it takes a long time for me to get my first drink. I can get very, very difficult, as you guys know.
Oh yeah,
but you're just feeding into what I'm saying then,
right? Automate well, that process. Order.
Imagine a bar.
Pay.
Imagine going to a bar. You never see this at a bar. If you're at a table, you don't have to go to the bar and work your way through and shoulder your way in between people. You just order it, pay for it right on your phone.
I also think that it. Listen, I mean, this
clean.
Is the thing.
It's clean.
Well, I would say that, but I would also say that there is something to the whole dance that you have to wait sometimes.
Well, which part of it? Because I don't mind the hello.
Back and forth, you know, the laughter, like the flirtation.
The
you know,
flirtation.
The flirtation,
well,
yeah.
You know, or the like, hey,
gosh,
like
you're missing the flirtation
part. Yeah, that we're on like that you're on the inside of the joke with them, you know, that you understand, you know, whatever, and that if they are good at like making you look good, that they're gonna get a big tip. You know what I mean? No, I always leave the tip.
You like but holding people hostage for the tip.
You can still tip.
The interaction
still do
nice.
The interaction's too much. I don't need the whole interaction. I wouldn't mind if they came
that
over.
Waiting
and
tables is a, such an important part of some adolescent's growth about how to interact with the world.
You have a valid point there. You have a valid point there, but you get interaction not just from waiting tables. There's other.
Yeah, I was
going to
say we could probably work around that one.
Yes.
That's not a society hangs on that balance on that one.
Yes, but no one wants to call in an order anymore. Nobody wants to call in a food delivery order anymore. It's awful because normally it's crowded. They're taking at least, you know, where we are, they're taking a ton of orders and they're doing it while they're listening to one, ringing up someone else and then writing down yours. They're going to get it wrong. And inevitably they do. This is more efficient for them too.
Well, I think, Josh, the ordering and the paying is easily something like I don't mind someone saying hello. Giving me the menu, explaining it to me.
That's fine.
They might even like after they see me order, they could go through and just say, okay, I see what you ordered here. I'll be right back. But them writing it down or like when they have to memorize it, like I wonder, are these people told they can't write it down or are they just showing off?
At the fine dining, they tend not to write it down. They just take it and run and like it's some sort of magic trick that they've memorized everything you've said.
I don't need that, but
I don't need that either.
Yeah. The paying, though, for sure. Like, when I'm done, I'm done. I want to – if I can hustle that through, and I would think they can move the tables
and
faster.
They would want that, too, because it turns over the table quicker.
Right. That's what I was just saying. Yeah.
It's
so
more efficient,
I'm with you
less errors. I mean, so now I'm in a situation where if you don't have an app, I'm not doing it, I don't think. I mean, I just did – you ever do one of those stretch zones? I just did that the other day where they – you know, you pay to someone, stretches you out. And,
you know
– Oh, yeah.
You've done that, Omar, right?
Yeah, I've
done that.
Yeah.
Stretch you.
It's
I think
awesome.
Yeah. It's awesome, right? And
it's
the
awesome.
Best part was they have an app. And I
it's awesome if you get like a really burly guy.
And I can schedule my appointments on the app. I don't have to call and make small talk with someone and have them see if they check a date book to see what works and what. It's all on the app, and everything should be an app. Everything. Yeah. I'm at that point. If you don't have an app, I'm not signing up.
I have gone to the. Go ahead.
I can already see there's going to be an example when like, the check comes and we're split.
Yeah, but you can split checks very easily these days, because now you don't need everyone to put their credit card in because of Venmo. It's wonderful. Now one person pays and everyone Venmos that person. It's perfect.
Omar is loose
anyway.
in the world on Martha's Vineyard. He's
Omar
off his
loose.
Off his mic.
Yeah, but we are at that point anyway, folks. So we. I think we got a lot accomplished here.
Solved some problems, I think.
I think we solved some good problems. Some are
still
hanging.
Yeah, we did.
Balance.
And Josh, I like Josh's topic a lot. That was fascinating.
You know, screw you, Omar. That's you're like rubbing
my
face in it.
No,
isn't that funny?
No,
you
no,
know what's
no.
funny is Dave took offense to what Omar said, and I took offense to it as well. Because I thought he was saying it sarcastically about mine, and Dave thought he was
dismissing
his.
No, I do think both of your actually topics were actually, I was going to go transition into that. But the point is that Josh is, I think Josh should quit his job and go to Hollywood and strike.
That's right. That's the idea.
Be a scab. Be a scab writer. You can be a scab writer.
This is
your
chance.
You could totally do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You'd be all over the news, Josh, if you did it.
A scab writer?
Fascinating.
Am I going to write for every single show?
You'd be the most hated man in Hollywood. Actually, not in Hollywood. Hollywood would love you, but it's not the actors and the writers.
Yeah.
All right. Fascinating.
On that note, I'm going to say to my co-host here that another episode in the bag. Great job, guys. Thank you all for joining us for episode 51. We appreciate it as always. Keep those emails coming in, friends@fds.media. Check us out on our website, friendstalkingshop.weebly.com.
Don't forget our sponsor.
And our sponsor, our proud sponsor, Deacon Whiskey, Smoky, Sweet, and Pete Deacon Whiskey. Thank you, Omar, for that reminder. And we hope to see all of you episode 52.
Oh, by the way, you know what?
Right through our accent.
I forgot to tell you this.
I wrapped that up so beautifully.
No, but we're not done.
Apparently
somebody,
not.
I forgot, a few weeks ago, I forgot to tell you guys. Somebody offered to be a real sponsor for our podcast.
Oh.
I swear to God. I think they were offering in the four figures, like something significant.
Okay, Omar.
I just forgot who it was.
Omar? Omar.
Yeah?
Okay. Let me dial back a second. It was such a great ending. And that news lacked so much detail that you could have easily told us that after we were done and we'd wrap it up. You know, that was something that maybe you've told Dave and I after we put the ribbon and closed out the episode. You got so excited there. And you didn't even have any details. It was completely weird. All right, I'm going to wrap this up again. Don't do it again.
Okay. I love it when you shame Omar.
Yeah, I love to shame Omar.
Shame on you.
Part.
Stop it.
Shame.
Stop
shame.
It, you.
Shame. Shame. Like Game of Thrones. Shame. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. See you episode 52.
Bye.
See you later.